Let us then turn in our back of our hymnals to read together our confession of faith, looking at questions and answers 27 and 28 of the Catechism as we look at Lord's Day 10, as we continue to think about, I believe in God the Father, Almighty Maker of heaven and earth. We spoke in the previous question, the previous Lord's Day, of God's provision for us, and so we want to ask the question, what does it mean? What does providence of God mean? So let us read together our confession of faith. First of all, question and answer 27. What do you understand by the providence of God? The almighty, everywhere present power of God, whereby, as it were by his hand, he still upholds heaven and earth with all creatures, and so governs them that herbs and grass, rain and drought, fruitful and barren years, meat and drink, health and sickness, riches and poverty, indeed all things come not by chance, but by his fatherly hand. What does it profit us to know that God created and by his providence upholds all things? That we may be patient in adversity, thankful in prosperity, and for what is future have good confidence in our faithful God and Father, that no creature shall separate us from his love, since all creatures are so in his hand that without his will they cannot so much as move. So what do you understand by the providence of God? As we think about providence, I think one thing we might think about in the opposite of providence is miracles. We have people who say, well, miracles happen all the time. Brothers and sisters, I would argue that we do not have the ability to test that. What I want to say as I think about the difference here is, or actually what's the same, is they are both by the almighty power of God. God does powerful things through his providence, through his natural processes. And we understand, and people understandably have a reaction, this is God, yes. But understand, brothers and sisters, this is all God. The almighty, everywhere present power of God, whereby, as if it were by his hand, he still upholds heaven and earth and all creatures. So, brothers and sisters, we think of God and perhaps science. Well, we talked about last Lord's Day, gravity. How does gravity happen? Is that just because of the attraction of the atoms and large masses together? It is God's almighty, everywhere present power that causes gravity to work. If God quit upholding gravity, we'd all float out into space. And I'm sure there'd be plenty of other problems too, don't get me wrong. But we have to understand that yes, we put names on these things because they are not just random. They are the wisdom of God setting up this universe. And we have to understand how perfectly it is set up. I can't remember the particular physical constant, but it is one that is possible that it wouldn't be what it is. And the fact that it is what it is absolutely necessary to life and so many other things. And the possibility that it is what it is like the universe filled with sheets of paper, and one has an X on it, and that you come up with that sheet of paper with that side up. That's how impossible it is for life to exist. But God did it. And we have to understand That's just one of many possibilities where, and this is why science thinks that we're on the tip of a razor, because they understand from a certain perspective how many things had to go perfect for there to be human life. Brothers and sisters, of course, when you understand who created this, God says how many times in the Psalms that this world's going to continue. He's got it put together. It is not going to fail until he fails it with fire. And so the everywhere present power of God Almighty, whereby, and I added a couple words there, because it is God's hand. But we have to realize God doesn't have a hand. It's talking figuratively there. He still upholds heaven and earth with all creatures. He upholds everything. In Acts chapter 17, 25 and 26, nor is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life and breath and all things. And I want to read a little bit further there just because I think it's important in our culture today. And he made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth. One blood. We're not all different nations and we're not all different races. We are one human race. And so what our skin color is, or gender, or all of these other things that people get so worried about, and the external things on which our culture, this is important. No, it's not. There are certain aspects, certainly, of gender God has set up. Men can't be moms. Sorry, doesn't work. We got to understand that. But God still upholds heaven and earth. And he upholds all things, Hebrews 1:3, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power. By the way, this points to Jesus as very much involved in this. And he, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. And so governs them that herbs and grass, rain and drought, fruitful and barren years, meat and drink, health and sickness, riches and poverty, the good times, the hard times. I'm not sure where the herbs and grass, what that difference is. But when we have weeds, you know, we want an herbicide right away, right? God upholds all of these things. We need to understand that they come not by chance, but by God's fatherly hand. He works all things together. Romans 5, 3-5, and not only that we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. And notice that God uses trials, tribulations, difficulties. And that is something that God directs. So what does it profit us to know that God created and by his providence upholds all things? That we may be patient in adversity, thankful in prosperity, and for what is future have good confidence in our faithful God and Father, that no creature shall separate us from his love. We can be patient in adversity. God gives us patience. And how do we get patience? Is it through having easy times? I'm sorry, no. My sister once came to me, or we were talking, and she said, you know, don't pray for patience. And because it takes hard things to get patience. But brothers and sisters, I would argue we should. If God is working that which is good in us, even through hard things, is that a bad thing? Are hard things bad things? No, they're not. Not if God is using them for our good and for His glory. And He does. God's not going to send something on us that at the other end of it, God's going to be like, eh, that was useless. God will use even the hardship that He sends upon us for our good and for His glory. And so as we look at these things, we may be patient in adversity. We also need to be thankful in prosperity. What is our easy reaction to prosperity? Ah, the good times, right? Easy. We too easily follow after the rich man who wanted to build bigger barns. I need bigger bank accounts. Feels good, right? We need to be thankful. Instead of spending our time saying, what a good boy am I finally got this figured out. Say, thank you, Lord. Help me, Lord, use it for your glory. You helped me when I couldn't get anything together. And now where did this come from? This didn't come because I finally got it figured out. It came because God gave it to me. And so we are called to thanksgiving, not like our world that wears a shirt that says thankful. And honestly, sadly, I'm afraid most of those don't mean much. But truly that we would live lives of thanksgiving to God. And for what is future, have good confidence in our faithful God and Father. Can we have confidence in God for the future? Have you ever watched the ads on TV about investments? What do they say? Past performance is not an indicator of future. I can't remember the exact word, but you know what I'm saying, right? Is God's past performance an indicator of the future that we have with Him? Most definitely. One of the things that I think we fail to do as churches and as Christians today, because we don't as often get together young people and the elderly, is for young people to hear from the elderly God's faithfulness. Some over nearly or more than a century. That God is faithful. That God does care and carry us through those times we can't even figure out where to put our feet for the next step. For what is future, we can have good confidence. Romans 8:35, who shall separate from us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Are any of those going to separate us? Continuing there in Romans 8:38, and remember the idea there in Romans 8 is that Christ is our Savior and our Judge, and that Christ, having loved us to save us, is not then going to separate us and judge us in our sins. So verses 38 and 39, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." So we can have good confidence that what God has done in the past in caring for us, in carrying us through the hardships, He will continue to do. And then, we look at God's sovereignty. Since all creatures are so in His hand, that without His will, they cannot so much as move. All creatures are so in God's hand, that without His will, they cannot so much as move. And I want to read from Job. One of our pastors said, this is where he understood the sovereignty of God, when he read Job. And I think it's a very helpful thing for us. Because who answers to who in the opening chapter of Job? You guys all know this, right? Job 1, beginning at verse 6. "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. And the Lord said to Satan, 'From where do you come?' So Satan answered the Lord and said, 'From going to and fro on the earth and from walking back and forth on it.' Then the Lord said to Satan, 'Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil?' So Satan answered the Lord and said, 'Does Job fear God for nothing? You have made a hedge around him, around his household, and around all that he has on every side. You have blessed the work of his hands and his possessions, and have increased in the land. But now stretch forth your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. And the Lord said to him, to Satan, "Behold, all that he has is in your power, only do not lay a hand on his person." So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord." Who answers to who? Satan can't do anything without the hand of God as well, allowing it. So sovereignty of God. Yes, God is sovereign even over Satan. Since all creatures, again, Romans 8:28, It is 8:39. "Nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Notice there are two categories. There are things that are created, and there is only one that is uncreated, God. We have to understand that. And so there is no other created thing that is going to separate us from the love of God. And so all creatures are so in God's hand. Again, creatureliness is to be created. And they are so in God's hands that without His will, they cannot so much as move. And so as we consider the providence of God, going back to creation, as we consider the providence of God going forward, we understand that God created and upholds this world, and that at the end He stands as judge. But brothers and sisters, we can be patient in adversity. Is God going to use this? Most definitely. We can be thankful in prosperity, and we can have good confidence in our faithful God and Father. That God is faithful. That no creature shall separate us from His love. Since all creatures are so in His hand that without His will they cannot so much as move. Amen.